This is the Believe Network, motherfucker.
What's up, folks? This is a non-jazz podcast of edition of Hitting the High Notes Jazz Talk. I am here, the voice in your ear hold right now. You can follow me on the Twitterverse. We still call it Twitter here. At Who Trust Superman, HUUTRN Superman. And happy Juneteenth, everybody. And when you think Juneteenth, you think of these guys on the podcast with me. First, let's bring on, he's Mr. Honeypaws. He's back after a little hiatus. He heard we weren't talking very much jazz today, so he's like, yeah, hell yeah, I'll be on the podcast. What's up, Dragon Squatch?
I've rebranded my name to Mountain Squatch.
Mountain?
it was Mountain Mike, and now it's Mountain Basketball, yeah, so I'm Mountain Squatch.
Mountain Basketball is a thing now. Thank you. Got to figure out a way to make it there. And then, of course, he's a Floridian by nature, lives in Utah, knows about Juneteenth culture, educating us on the podcast, before the podcast, I should say. Mr. Alan Bean 23. Mr. Bean, what's up, man?
Just chilling. We're going on day 9 in a row of working every day. We're gonna see how long this streak goes.
I'm hoping it ends soon. It's a good thing. It's a good thing you're down to one job right now. So that's good.
Yeah, for real.
All right. Well, we're working hard or hardly working. We are here at June 19th. We were recording this on Juneteenth. The NBA draft is something like probably like 10 days away or something like that. Maybe even like probably like
a week from today.
A week from today. There we go. And most good jazz podcasts would be like, all right, let's talk draft picks. Let's talk about the draft. We are not going to do that here. We've had a little bit of draft talk, and the problem for me is that, again, I hate reiterating this, but for over a year, I kept hearing what an awful draft class this is. All of a sudden, the Jazz go and get 3 draft picks in this draft, and now we want to try to move the goalposts. Say maybe I'm going to give you a couple minutes. You've done the homework. You've looked at it. Are you willing to stake your reputation on anybody here? Say just give me one name, and you tell you. And if there's not, you tell me this. But do you think there's one name in this draft that you think could be the next Giannis, the next Jokic, the next game changer in NBA history?
No.
Okay. Well, then what are we talking about? Because that's the thing,
like,
is that
when you put it up to those names, yeah. No. Okay. I think that there are guys that are worthwhile? Yes.
Okay.
After like a mile of research, convincing myself that they're worth it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but nobody to those names. Yeah. Off the bat, do I think that there's anyone in this draft that has that sort of potential or even a ceiling for that?
Well, then, if the Jazz aren't getting that, then who cares, right? So, Jazz with 10, 29, and 32. So, maybe we'll do another episode next week where we talk about it. Who knows? We'll see. Well, I guess we'll find out next week. So,
Next week we might have to do a draft day.
Yeah.
Draft day episode.
Yeah. You pancaking the motherfuckers. As we get ready for from the movie Draft Day, have you never seen Draft Day, Logan?
I haven't seen it once.
You need to revisit.
With Kevin Costner, man, like that movie.
Well, actually, you have to wait till next year.
Yes,
you can't watch it out of season.
I don't know. Yeah. I only do Kevin Costner as cowboy or baseball player when he ventures out of those two.
He is a football
Americana. I don't know.
He is a football GM in that movie. He might be a cowboy.
It's just not believable.
That movie is really unbelievable. But as draft day approaches, the movie and NBA, Bet Online is our number one source for the NBA Finals. It was, at least, and Stanley Cup Finals this season, which is going very well. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on to our online casino and get on the game of blackjack or poker. Unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BELIEVE, BELIEV. Bet Online, the game starts here. Logan, do you we were just in Vegas, obviously, about a month and a half ago. You don't do much gambling, right?
Zero gambling.
So,
smart man. It's my Mormon beliefs.
It is, yes. Las Vegas just doesn't. You go to Vegas for everything but the gambling. So,
it's true.
Yeah.
What's that like?
What is that like? He asked you what was that like?
What's that like? Going to Vegas without betting?
Hazy.
there's still plenty of fun to be had in Vegas without.
We find new outdoor.
No, I've just never. I mean, we had that little stretch where we all were into Texas Hold'em for a while. But yep. I've never really drawn me in.
Yeah, which is why Logan always gets my poker references. Here when we talk about stuff. So this episode again, we are not talking very much jazz. It might come up in the course of the episode. This is sort of like, you know, there's that guy that goes to the bar. Like I'm assuming an older guy. Goes to the bar once a week with his friends, and he always makes an itinerary of things to talk about. This will be sort of like that, except that I don't have an itinerary. We just kind of, you know, have thoughts and stuff that we're going to talk about. Like Logan and I were just, you know, we were just talking about Vegas right before you came on. You're like, oh, I just booked my hotel room for WrestleMania weekend, which was, I think, a very interesting story about WrestleMania. For those who don't watch WWE or whatever wrestling, WrestleMania is like the big Super Bowl of the company. It was supposed to be in Minnesota this year. And here's the thing: WrestleMania is like April. Like Minnesota in April is probably not that warm. They just had WrestleMania in Philadelphia, and like the temperatures dropped to like the 40s and 50s, and you know everybody was saying it was like super cold. I don't know why you'd want to go to WrestleMania in April. And so I don't know if there was a weird pivot or whatever, but Vegas is sort of a town
everything in Minnesota is inside, though.
Oh, that's right. They have a dome. I forgot they have a dome.
But Rudy Gobert
is the
rest of the Timberwolves.
So yes. Clear but even like even though like there's a chance that like even like getting to the venue, all that stuff, if it's 40 degrees, that's uncomfortable to get like in the city. So
that's when you unpack your Huskies.
Yeah, we were talking about. I was talking to a producer here who he went to the Super Bowl probably 4 or 5 years ago when it was in Minnesota, and he said there was like a guy in Boston who huge Bostonian accent was like, "Who the fuck wants to have a Super Bowl in the cold? It's like it's colder than Frosty the Snowman's titty out here, you know." And nobody wants to do cold. Like it's why you know they don't want to do the NBA All-Star Game in Utah or Indiana because it's cold.
But they did it anyway.
Yeah, they do it anyway. Well, you know, like...
Back-to-back years.
Yeah, we'll see if they do that again because it sounds like, you know, everybody's... Vegas just kind of is able to handle a lot of people coming in. You know, the F1 races, they've had big games there. So I think the one big thing they haven't had there, right, actually is like an NCAA tournament game. So... Which is interesting. So
foreshadowing.
I remember taking an Uber and the guy was like, "Oh yeah, we don't
have." You're talking about Final Four. You're talking about because they had tournament games last year.
About
the Final Four.
I think that they had tournament games in Vegas. I mean, I know they have
last year.
I know they have like their like conference tournaments are in Vegas, but I don't. Was the first round there in Vegas?
I'm pretty sure there was a bracket in Vegas, wasn't there?
We can look it up real quick. I mean the Uber driver could have been full of shit, so who knows. I don't think it was. I think it was in Seattle. They had one in I was in Indianapolis. So somebody will look it up. I don't think it was last year though, so
It is actually scheduled to be in 2025.
2025. Well, there you go. It's about the first time ever, I think. So, anyway, Logan. So you booked a room for Vegas weekend, WrestleMania, which you know snaked it from Minnesota. Minnesota got SummerSlam. You're going to Vegas. What were room prices about what you usually pay for?
No, they got a little sketchy. I mean, they were like, it was like $360, $390 a night. So they already know, even a year, even this far out, they know what they're doing.
Which is funny because I looked it up during your wedding, or not during your wedding. I mean, you know, I was a little busy, but like while we were out there because we talked about it, and it wasn't that bad then. But you know, again, like that was a month and a half ago. So what you're saying is I better check now to see. So April's a little sketchy for me to get out there, but you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I might be fired or dead by then. So who knows? But yeah, so if you want to go to WrestleMania with Logan and I, I think Logan's gonna try and you hate
Easter.
you do hate Easter.
I mean, colorful eggs.
Yeah, you are a family that celebrates Easter, right? Like you have a young child that she celebrates.
It's gonna be a challenge. I'm gonna sort through that because
or you could always just tell the kids.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the kids that I hang out with are 13. You're gonna be 13 and 12 at that point. And they both they went to Raw and had a great time. I've taken the little boy to like SummerSlam and other pay per views, and they usually have a good time at the live event. So he even asked me, he's like, "Hey, you know, are we gonna go to WrestleMania?" And I was like, "If you can save up some money, because you know that's an expensive ticket." So we'll see about that. So. All right, so get some rooms out there for WrestleMania. This is not Alma's forte, wrestling. So
yeah, I don't know a damn thing.
What's new with you?
That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah, so you're doing a lot of work, Alma. What else is new with you?
Me and some of my buddies from back home, we went ahead and decided to book a cruise for next year. We're going to be going out to the Bahamas in May. So trying to get that all situated, getting ready to apply for my passport, and then make that deposit for the cruise itself. Just trying to decide if I want to get an ocean view room or if I want a balcony.
Bermuda.
It's more of like
Bahama.
That's
come on, pretty mama. I've never been on a cruise. Logan, are you a cruise guy?
I'm not. I went on one a long time ago once. I'm definitely not the guy who has the right information.
I mean,
see, my friends that I'm going with, they literally go on like three or four cruises a year. It's like that's their thing. When they go to like Alaskan cruises, they'll go up into the Northeast and like sail out of Boston, and then they'll do like two like Caribbean cruises, but it's because they play like all these different like mobile games and stuff.
Yeah.
Getting all these rewards, and they're just like, "Oh yeah, you should come." And I was like, "Well, I don't know what to do." And they're like, "All right, well, listen, we're gonna go on this cruise line that has a robotic bartender, and it serves you as much as you want. You just gotta pay. It's like a $100 package or something. You get all the drinks you want." And I'm like, "Say less."
We should get a cruise expert for next time on here. I just binged it. Ocean view rooms have a window or porthole, but typically do not open. Balcony provide a personal veranda with outdoor seating, spectacular ocean views, and fresh sea air. I mean, balcony sounds like it's the way to go. But
sounds like balcony is the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah,
then I also look at my budget.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's
just make it 12 work days in a row.
Well, because like a big thing is like I always thought cruises were like a little bit like unattainable for me just because of pricing, but then I didn't realize that they do like monthly payments for cruises.
I didn't
know that was a thing.
It's the Ryan Smith way of doing it. Make you pay the year before for your season ticket. So
yeah, I mean. Shoot, if that means I get to go visit the Bahamas, maybe chill out with some like stingrays, maybe some little baby pigs that are chilling by the ocean, I'm down.
I've never been on a cruise, but you know, I'm assuming that boat strange is probably a pretty good strange to get. So,
yeah, I mean, that's something I'm unfamiliar with.
you can take a page from Go to the Sun 49, but you could drive the bus on a boat. So, That'd be awesome. So.
I can wear a captain hat.
Dragon Squatch. We just talked about WrestleMania, man. Like, we haven't talked to you, man. Well, I mean, I've talked to you last month, and we kind of texted a little bit, but you haven't had you on the podcast in a few months. What's new in your life to let the people know what you've been up to? Besides, obviously, you became Mr. Honey Boss, so.
I can't really think of much.
That's life, just isn't it?
yeah, I don't know. Just watching a little bit of hockey.
Yeah, I mean,
trying to watch a little basketball, but that was just not.
Yeah, we don't care about basketball anymore. Right now, it's about Edmonton somehow trying to figure out to push this to game seven.
We just need these Edmonton Oilers fans, these the heroes that we need.
The fan.
I mean, the pairs are willing to bring the fandom together.
It's funny that, like, so, you know, the NBA Finals happened, so I worked most of those games. Game four was on, like, on a, was, I think it was on a weekend, or it was a Friday night. That's when, like, Dallas, like, whooped the Celtics, right? We have a fairly new producer here, and so, you know, over the weekend, he's like, hey, you know, like, after that game four, you think, I was like, you think Dallas has it? I was like, no way. I was like, I would bet, if I could, an obscene amount of money that the Celtics are going to win in the next game or two. Like, the series is over. He's like, oh, but, you know, I saw that game four. And I was like, doesn't matter. The NBA just, it doesn't matter.
They need to push it at least one game so that it made it worthwhile.
We've seen teams just like, I mean, it just seemed like they didn't care. It is a whatever, right? But in hockey, you know, like, even when Edmonton went down 3-0, I was like, yeah, we've seen it in hockey more often than we've seen in almost any other sport. You know, we've seen it in hockey when a team goes up 5-1 in a game and lose, you know? Hockey just has this weird vibe to it that, like, you're just never really out of it until the last buzzer sounds, you know? And I don't know what it is, you know? And maybe it's just me. Like, I don't know. You guys think Edmonton can win four in a row to win the championship, the Stanley Cup?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not based on how things have been going recently.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even the first time. It's happened quite a few times throughout the other rounds of the playoffs, but it's even happened before in the Stanley Cup Finals before. So.
Yeah. I mean, it was 1942, but still. I mean,
what was that?
I think 1942 was the last time it happened. But still, I mean, it has happened.
I mean, even then, I want to say, and I could be wrong, I think the Panthers did it last year in the first round of the playoffs.
Oh yeah. Like yeah.
Against,
like,
the number one seed, and like I think I want to say that Boston set some sort of record for the most points in a single NHL season and did it. So I mean, nothing's impossible.
Yeah, but, like, hockey just has this weird, like, I mean, the NBA Finals was over. Like, I mean, it was almost over after 2-0. Stanley Cup playoffs, Stanley Cup finals, you're just not out of it. And Edmonton's now got two. They get to go home. If they win one more, then all of a sudden, game seven, anything can happen. So there's actually been quite a few hockey. I want to say even in the Stanley Cup finals where the teams have come back from 3-0, pushed the game. They may have lost game seven, but they still, you know, got to game seven. So hockey's very weird that way. So, but yeah. So you know, Logan's a big Golden Knights fan. Alma's trying to become a big Golden Outlaws fan. Golden Outlaws.
I can't understand why people have a hard time wrapping their mind around that. And I'm not going to abandon my team because Utah, a state that I don't live in, is getting a team. Like, I don't understand that.
But Logan, you're a Jazz fan.
Yeah, you're a Jazz fan. You must live in Utah.
People are baffled by that. I was thinking about this today. I mean, of all the teams I hate the most, I think I probably hate the Dallas Stars the most. But I definitely need, like, just a real, like, team to hate, and it's definitely going to be the Utahs. They're just
the Utah Golden Showers.
It's built in perfectly for a team for me to hate, and hope that they have their just consistent downfall.
even with the beautiful mountain blue, the salt.
Yeah,
white,
I don't. Yeah, that's probably one of my least favorites of the Jazz era. It was the least favorite the baby blue until the neon yellow came out. I've never been a powder blue kind of guy.
Oh, yes. Powder, I mean, because his logo is actually a big black and copper guy, so, like, that's a very polarizing opinion, right? The powder blue.
That was a uniform that a lot of people didn't like, was the black.
Yeah, it's definitely probably one of the most unpopular ones until the yellows came around, for sure. Or, yeah, but it was very, very divisive. People loved it, or people thought it was the worst. Yeah. There was no, like, they're okay.
Well, because that was also, like, a very big dramatic change at that point too. It was like you're going from that mountain logo to, like, what the fuck is this?
That was the first time Dwayne Wade's mom was very confused by the Utah Jazz. So
and now the Jazz don't even exist on the jersey anymore. They're just Utah.
Yeah, they're.
That's super basketball. Weird, right? Like, I'm not, I don't want to be that guy, because it seems like every time something happens with the Jazz, you know, I'm saying something shitty about it. But, like, I found that very strange that not a single jersey says Jazz on it. That's just very peculiar to me, because that font, the font that they used, was made famous by saying Jazz, right? So, it's just very, very peculiar. But I guess that's what people say. Ryan Smith is really determined to make Utah an appealing place, mm-hmm. as seen by the money he's dumping into the BYU basketball program. So,
I mean,
Elmo was going to. Brian Smith, he went ahead and said that, like, he wanted the community to be able to, like, gather around one single thing and actually cheer for one singular thing. And with having these multiple brands, whether it's Real Salt Lake, the Utah Jazz, Utah Hockey Club, he wants them to all be able to recognize, like, Utah is going to be, like, a major thing rather than creating an unnecessary division by putting the team names on there and not wanting to bring attention to, like, the history of, like, why are they still the Jazz? It makes no sense. What's the Jazz culture in Salt Lake City? He's wanting to get away from that and more focus in on, this is Utah. This is a place that people want to be. We are starting fresh, and we are going to do it as a unit.
Logan, so you just heard Alma's explanation there, right? You are a former Utahn, not born, but spent some school years here in the Utah.
Decade and a half.
Yeah, you are
formative years.
Yeah, you are a proud Idaho boy. What do you think when you hear Alma give you that explanation and Ryan Smith's rationale?
I'm trying to think of nice things to say. I mean, good for him. I mean, it is his home. And the one thing that I've tried to learn, because Twitter's a really weird place, and if you'd asked me this question 3 years ago, I would have just bashed Utah and him to high heaven. But I just noticed that it's very strange for me to see people just shit on other people's places they call home. It seems like Utah likes to do that a lot with Idaho for some reason. We're little brother because they're little brother to the world. So sounds kind of cheesy, but I really try to make a cognizant effort not to shit on people's homes, because that's someone's home. And Utah is a fine place. It's not a place I want to be, or a place for me. I'm not in line with that culture. That it's just not a place that appeals to me. But if that's what he wants to do, then, you know, by all means, go for it. But I think that the Jazz and the name is very important to a lot of people. And if that's really the way he's going, I think that he risks alienating and losing some want. I think he risks alienating Jazz fans in the name of outside eyes, if that's what he's going for, to show the Utah's great. I mean, I'm not really sure what that is. I mean, if you want to call the Utah Hockey Club the Utah Hockey Club and be trendy and edgy, then go for it. And I guess we should expect them to be called Real Utah here pretty soon too, then. But I don't know. I think the Jazz is important. It wasn't just that it was. I mean, we all knew they were from Utah. Everyone knows that. Who's got a brain? But I think that the name Jazz is important. It's quirky and weird and dorky and unfitting as it is. That's important to a lot of us. So I know there's a lot of jokes around about him getting rid of the name, but statements like that or thoughts. Thinking like that makes it doesn't. I don't think you'd have the guts to actually do that, because he's the king of nostalgia.
Yeah.
The Delta Center and everything else. I don't think you'd ever totally get rid of it, but I think we're definitely seeing probably as close as he can get to putting it on the back burner, I guess, right?
Yeah. Seeds are there. So let's
see. But yeah, I don't think you would ever do
it. I mean, for now.
But then again, we've also seen that he doesn't really have any. He says that now, but then he trotted out something atrocious, right, unrelated to anything 2 years ago that was just an abomination. So the one thing I'll give him is he does seem to try to make corrections when he does something really wrong. But I think the biggest issue that the Jazz have as a brand is we were talking about this with the DJ walking in the other day. He's just, instead of trying to build a brand with either team, he is just trying to build on what's popular now, and that's a very slippery slope. Like, the iconic brands don't flip and flop and change, and it's just like, even we joke about the uniforms, but it's not just the uniform, it's the font. You know, even like the most simple of fonts, like LSU, for example, has different angles and different cuts on the letters, and even the simple outlines on Utah have different things, but he just basically pulled the most basic font because that's the popular thing to do, and the funny thing is, you know me, who I never gave a shit about uniforms. I didn't, it was not my thing. Like, I don't even want to talk about it. And then he did that, and I'm like, okay, I guess I care about uniforms now, because that was just.
I didn't think I care, but I do care.
Yeah, but that was really bad, man. That was really bad that he didn't check with anyone. It was really bad. I mean, again, I'm not saying that his choices on uniforms and things like that dictate the future of the team. But it does make me worry, I guess, a little bit more about what – I mean, and I guess it shouldn't worry. Maybe it doesn't matter. If I didn't care that much about the name, I mean, I don't know. It's just I guess nothing's off the table to watch the flips we've seen the last couple of years. Again, I don't think he would ever have the guts to pull the Jazz out of Utah, especially if he sees anyone at Maverick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, there's just too much nostalgia that's been circled back that I don't think he'd pull it out. But I mean, again, like I said, on the repeat now, if that's his mission statement, that definitely right. checks out.
I'm a longtime fan of the UBC, Utah Basketball Club. So,
now the question is, though, if he does go ahead and decide to change the name, do you think he'll actually follow through and do a legitimate bracket, or will he do another like 40-team selection?
Right. We're like, were we supposed to have a bracket this time? Well, so the story about that, and I think I can tell this now, is that they did that press conference, and whoever was doing it was like, oh, yeah, and they're releasing this vote tomorrow. But everybody at SEG, they weren't planning on releasing the vote then. But then whoever that guy was like, yeah, they're releasing the vote tomorrow. Then they have to scramble.
President of SEG.
Then they have to scramble and put it together because like they weren't ready to go. That's why it took so
long. That doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound
that's why
right
it took so it long. Like that's why it took so long to get out because they were not ready. So, but you know, whatever, it worked out. Bracket style was pretty stupid anyway. Everybody wants to do brackets because of March Madness, but bracket style is usually the wrong way to do that. So
it's just too big. It's just too big of a commitment to make on it. It's just too big of a commitment to be making to let just
right
a bracket pick.
Right.
I didn't even ask you guys. What do you guys want it to be?
I like Utah Hockey Club. I think Utah Hockey Club is just because I as I said I liked watching football. Like watch football's team kind of sucked. But then it grew on me. I'm like, actually, it's not too bad. You know, WFT, WTF. But then they got the Commanders. I'm like, oh, boy, Washington football team is way better than Commanders. So, you know, I just, whatever. I mean, I'm not – I haven't done the deep dive like Alma or Jazz Dragon or the other guys who have who've decided to take on a second sport. I'm like, I think hockey would be cool, but I'm not quite to the point where I'm into the branding, into the players, into the team quite yet. So – I like the new shiny thing, but I'm not ready to commit another fandom or time or effort into a team that I'm not like just invested in yet, you know? So I guess I don't really care. I'm assuming it's going to be Yeti. I don't think it's going to be Blizzard. Outside shots, like maybe Outlaws, but I think Yeti, this seems to be where everything's trending. So it's my guess.
That's my expectation. I expect Yeti.
Yeah.
I want Mammoth. I think that there could be a lot of really cool branding opportunities if you go the Mammoth route, and I think
Mammoth
the colors that they have would work for it.
I do like Mammoth, too. You're right.
And, I mean, I can't go back on that now because now I'm, like, officially on record on news stations saying that I am Team Mammoth. So
I think this podcast supersedes any anything that you see on Fox 13, KSL, KUTV. So
this is the Believe Network, motherfucker.
Hey, but I mean, I've said it in one place, and if somebody decides to do the deep dive, they're like, "Oh, Alma said he's a Mammoth guy, but he said over here he's a Yeti guy. He's not consistent. We can't believe any of his time.
He's not credible at all." Right when I was thinking of who made a good call by looping in Alma to add some credibility to this podcast months ago, and then he's backtracking like I do every 10 minutes.
I think.
I mean, I hope they lose every game, but I do think that Mammoth is the best name of the available choices.
Yeah, I like Duba. I like Mammoth.
I mean, Outlaw's fine, but the funny thing to me is I think I read somewhere that when the Avalanche were sourcing the team name, they had Outlaws on the list too, and it didn't get voted in. And also, the Golden Knights, when they were doing names, Outlaws was in there and also didn't get picked. So it's just something about
Outlaws is always like the generic name for a Western team of any sport because you can go ahead and make it easily relatable.
It's like those old NES.
Feels like a lacrosse team.
Yeah,
I feel like it would work baseball. Like if Utah got a baseball team, you could go ahead and make them the Utah Outlaws.
It's like those old NES like basketball or sport games where they have to like make up a generic team. Outlaws is
that's true.
A Nintendo.
It just feels like Utah Hockey Club is just like trying too hard. Like you're trying too hard to be
I mean, that's the name that you're going to have to get used to for at least one season.
No, I don't have to get used to anything, but you guys have to get used to what it is.
You'll probably see it. You're watching your Golden Knights. You'll see that.
That's true.
A couple times. You'll be like, I can't believe they whooped the Utah Hockey Club's ass.
My favorite part was I was looking at some of my Golden Knights. I was looking at one of my shirts, and my favorite part is it said, like, Vegas Golden Knights Hockey Club. Like, that's an inherent part of what you already are is the hockey club.
Yep. We should
just call themselves Utah Team. Utah Team.
The Utah Blank Hockey Club.
Yes.
He did make the right call by not running out of team name early, though. I know people were kind of antsy for that, but he did do the right thing by giving himself time to...
Yeah, give yourself the time. Like, it's... I don't think that this is a process has to be
according rushed, to the story they told them.
The whole thing was rushed.
According to the story they told, like, Ryan Smith had to buy that team within like 24 hours, so they, you know, they had no time to do anything. Which I know it's a little. I mean, I know it was rushed, but I don't know if it was as rushed as
the NHL is crazy, man. Could you, like, you know how hard it is to buy and move and relocate teams in the NBA and NFL and baseball and hockey? Just like,
yeah, there you go.
Literally, the Phoenix Coyotes 2 days before putting out promotional footage on the chunk of land they wanted to buy. It was unbelievable.
Well, a last ditch effort by the social media team.
Yeah, which also then reignited some. I guess there's some sort of weird tension that exists between Phoenix and Utah. It didn't exist. I mean, these our fan base and their fan base just going after each other was something really to behold, and that all shook down. So
yeah, and I mean, like, I've interacted with so many Phoenix fans, like, they're like, you stole our team, and I'm just like, we didn't steal anything. You just had a really shitty owner, and we had a guy out here that was like, hey, Gary Bettman, if you want to, like, you know, try this again, I got a spot, we can make it work if you really want to. And he's like, show me the money, and he said, take it. And now the previous owner for the Coyotes is still trying to get that land that he was talking about. I don't remember when the auction is. I think it's like end of the month or something.
That's wild. But I think the NHL could go to 34 teams, though. That seems like two guys.
That's not going to happen. That's
like, the, like, how do you divide the divisions at that point?
They're in a very good spot. They're not going to expand anytime soon. So,
well, that's the weird thing I learned about hockey too. Watching it, because, you know, like, we get locked into our divisions, and you play your division opponents all like four times a year, and then you play the other conference twice, and then it's mostly teams in, like, the Jazz play most teams in the West four times and a couple of them three times, right
mm-hmm.
Like, even within your own division in hockey, there's a lot of teams you only play three times because there's only two divisions in each conference.
Yeah.
And so it was so weird to me to have, like, these division rivals that you get used to, and they were only playing three times that year. I'm like, wait a second, there should be one more game. But that's 34 seems really strange. And I guess they just want more revenue streams or what? I don't know.
Which is...
Maybe it's not going to happen. Maybe that was just fool's gold to keep Ryan Smith line. And
I mean, again, like, we talked about it. Like, I don't think they're ready. Like basketball's probably ready for expansion. But baseball, football...
Yeah, probably 32.
Like, 32 seems to be, like, the right number for all sport leagues, you know?
You 16 could, and 4-4s.
Yep, 4-4s. Like, it just seems to be right. I mean, look, I'm sorry to Arizona fans. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, this is a huge podcast for Arizona Coyote fans, but, you know, it's just not going to happen anytime soon. And so, because baseball needs two more teams to get the 32, right? So, yeah, so... 32 just seems to be the magic number, and
What was baseball? Silver's thing was he had to get his next media deal before he entertained expansion. What was baseball's thing? It was the A's.
A's had
the A's and the Rays, I think, right? And they both got new state. Well, the A's thing is hard to figure out. I can't figure out what's going on there. It seems like
I don't think they can figure it out either.
Yeah. The locals aren't too happy about it, from what I can tell. But legislation's still trying to push it through.
Yeah,
I got no idea.
Yeah, like I talked to Uber drivers about this too, and they're like, "Oh yeah, like, we drive by the Tropicana, like, yeah, it's gonna be right here." But yeah, nobody's like super excited about it. They don't want to pay for it like they're paying for, you know, the renovation of Salt Lake down in Utah. But it's a hard sell. Like, I mean, this baseball team's gonna come and. The Rays, I think the Rays are kind of, like, now going to stay, right? So,
yeah, well, they got a new stadium, I think, pushed through, and it's going to be in the same place as before, which makes no fucking sense. But I guess I'm saying is that's been resolved. I think, where's Tejo when you need him?
Yeah. I think he's in Korea. And so, yeah, so, yeah, Tampa Bay, you know, because another, again, a team that's actually very successful, pretty successful recently, just, you know, you have to get a lot of fans to keep that profitable. And then, yeah, two more teams, and I think Nashville, Portland, and Utah are sort of it. Vegas.
For baseball?
Yeah, like, because Portland was preparing for one, but I think they've fallen behind Utah, honestly. And then Nashville.
Nashville seems like they're overdue for something. I mean, that's still one of the fastest growing cities for a long time. And the fact that they kind of got whiffed out, they're not even in the conversation for basketball because of
Memphis,
Seattle, and Vegas, right? So,
well, yeah, mm-hmm. And like Memphis is right.
And then
there.
Move Memphis and potentially Minnesota to being Eastern Conference.
God, for the love of God, you only got to, as McCade pointed out, you only got to move one team. You don't have to move two. It's just one.
Yeah. So.
And it needs to be the fucking Minnesota Timberwolves. For the love of God, make it the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Put them in
not Memphis.
I hate the Timberwolves. So I don't ever want to see them.
Logan does hate the Timberwolves, so
I hate everything about them.
Is there a certain reason that
because they're the pesky Timberwolves, Alma? Jesus,
yeah, man, we were Hot Rod raised us to call them the pesky Timberwolves, and to watch the cuckolding of Rudy Gobert and Mike Connolly is just.
See, that's what I was fishing for.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Twitter, it would be so different for me. I definitely wouldn't be all in on the. I would never be all in on the Wolves because I just don't. I there's not a team that appeals to me. But I'm definitely one of those haters that watched the way some Jazz fans really glommed on, which felt like over the top to the Timberwolves, which felt really, really obnoxious. But. And with all that it comes with it, force fed the rest of it, and then Ant is him after that, and it's like, man, you guys are gonna make me an anti guy already. I was stupid enough to put a tweet out there to the world that got people very confused. Yeah. I deleted it. People just weren't catching on to what I was saying, but the point was is these guys go from as who pointed out forever ago with Minnesota or with Memphis. These teams go from lovable, likable upstarts to be really annoying fast. He called it. Who called it on Memphis when they were playing the Jazz? And then a couple of years later, Memphis was the most hateable team out there. And people took my jaw reference and just took it off and ran the wrong way. I'm not really talking about him getting in trouble. I was talking about.
Yeah,
he's going to go. And good for him because you need more personalities. You need some villains. But like his way of going about things is going to rub a lot of people wrong. And so to act shocked when people aren't just all in on it is weird to me because I get why some people love it because he seems to be different, but he's also just like, and again, that's fine. That's what you need. You need a little bit of that, but people just who can't wrap their minds around the fact that we all don't love that is just, or love him for that is interesting. But
that's another fun conversation that we've had. I saw on, today was with the firing of Monty Williams, right? Somebody was feeling like, hey, you know, like, unless you're, like, it's funny, the two, like, great coaches that we come up with, that we just say are great coaches, are Spo and Popovich. And then it's just 20 other guys, you know? You know, you can go from being a coach of the year, you can win a championship, and you can be fired in 2 or 3 years. And this is, like, a conversation we had about Quinn Snyder 4 years ago. And I was like, everybody went to bat for Quinn Snyder. Jazz fans went to bat for Quinn Snyder year after year after year, and now the same Jazz fans are the ones that are trashing him as a bad coach. So it's always funny to me to see some of our conversations regurgitate years later.
Play out. There's very few elite ones. I really think there is. I mean, Spo seems to get stuff out of people that no one expected. Popovich is interesting, right? Because Popovich has
the legacy.
I mean, he definitely got some, I don't know. But then again, Popovich is, you know, definitely adapted his style of play as the years went on too, right? So,
but
on a different note, to go the other direction, Steve Kerr is an interesting individual when it comes to coaches. I think is almost swung in the other direction too much, where people hate on Steve Kerr a little bit over the top. Now I don't think he's top.
Jared, shut that damn alarm off! My God, but yeah, like Steve Kerr. If Steve Kerr didn't ruin Walker Kessler's career, I think people would like him more. But That was like the final straw.
That was definitely the nail in the coffin. Yeah. I definitely on the Twitterverse, and my good friend Denver reminded me that Twitter isn't real life.
Right.
it's funny because I definitely, because of Twitter and all the media available to us and the people, I definitely consume, even though I was a big sports nut all my life and younger, I consume way more sports now than I ever did. And I don't think I'm better off for it.
Everybody needs a hobby.
Because it's just kind of crazy the way that you just get yourself into these silos.
Yep.
On things.
Silos.
And like there's this group thing that takes place, and you're like, oh wait, and then you're like, wait a second, that's not true. Like,
right.
Like, and I mean, Rudy Gobert and Steve Kerr are great examples of that. Where on our corner of the internet, Rudy Gobert is without flaw because of certain stats that people pull, and then can't even wrap their mind around the fact that he might be a liability, even though guys who played the game their entire life. I'm not talking about Draymond Green because he's a fucker. I'm not even going down that route. But when these guys who cover the game see something and call it and don't like what's going on there, and we just, you know, we're calling, you know, people who forgot more about basketball than we've ever known as casuals. And then, I don't know, it's just very interesting to watch how much we consume, and I'm not sure that it's better.
Back in the 2000s, in 2024, we have Twitter and social media. In 2000s, we had... Pardon the interruption. Around the Horn, ESPN, Sasquatch Sports. So, you know, we just different ways to get into a silo. I thought silo was a good word. You know, into our group think, into our mind palaces. As Christopher Harris, a podcaster I like, we'll say the echo chamber, mind palaces. So.
I actually did come across a rare one that I didn't know existed, because I was a big Jake Plummer fan of the Bronco, and I thought that I was one of very few. Yeah. I thought he was basically run out of town and not liked by many. And then I've seen some of his social media lately where he's given some interviews. I think he was on the podcast with Barnes and Steven Jackson, right? And he was talking about the advice that Elway gave him on how Denver would embrace and love him if he hung out on the line. Like, what? And he said that was true. And then anything I see Jake Plummer related on social media, like, Jake Plummer loved you, we miss you. I was like, well, this is strange. And that's probably because back then the only media I was able to consume was just the national stuff at a high level, right? Where they were being critical of a team that just couldn't get over the top.
And, you weren't able to find your niche. You weren't able to find them.
It's crazy. I was like, okay, this is, that's what I told Mark Hintze. I'm like, hey, look at this. I was never so happy to be wrong, because I was just convinced the whole time that Jake Plummer was get out of town, but people loved him. I'm glad I wasn't alone. So.
Mark Hintze was gonna jump in to be your best man. He was like fourth in line. So if three guys went down, he was ready to be your best man in your wedding. So
the best man that didn't exist. So.
real quick, I'm gonna say this right now, so it's on air. I don't know if Will Hardy is a good coach, because I don't know. We haven't had any proof of it yet. So going back to the coaching stuff, Steve Kerr and all that stuff. So. I'm going to say it right now. Yeah. Like, it feels like he is, but we just don't have any data to back up that he is. So I guess we'll find out
in a couple of years. So. Yeah, nothing really.
Yeah, so.
He could be holding up a championship trophy right now.
He could be, yeah. He could be. Yeah, maybe
Celtics. If only he decided to be second fiddle.
It's an interesting thought activity, though, because sometimes I think we – and the tricky part is only 30 of those jobs exist, right? So it's hard to, like, pass them up, and I don't think anyone –
right. Yeah,
I mean, Udoka looked like he was a younger coach,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, he was like, a first-time coach, like, right?
Going anywhere, but sometimes, you know, I don't know. I'm one of the rare people who will just wait for the right. I don't know. Just wait for a better. I don't know. Wait for the opportunity I want rather than what seems to be the. I don't know. It's been very interesting to watch that, because I'm sure that Hardy could have done what Mazzulla did. But
yeah. But also, would you go ahead and see that, like, Utah was the right situation for Hardy, not necessarily on a winning aspect, but to go ahead and try and show that he can? Because, I mean, if you go ahead and take a look at the last two seasons for Utah, you saw that there were spurts when he was fully off the bench for, I want to say, 90-95% of the game, fully coaching the games. And, I mean, they had their stretches where things were going good, and it always came around, like, that December-January stretch in both seasons where Utah finally got their team chemistry together, but then it was trade deadline, and that's when everything kind of collapsed, and it almost kind of felt like
well, you went ahead and took away my pieces. I'll wait for next season. So, like, yeah. Do you think that maybe that's
because
he could go ahead and do it?
Because
then it's like other reigns.
Because like
the reins were moved from his hands to someone else's, next season, like, okay, now let's see what you can do this time.
Right, like, because with Will Hardy, like, I'm with the Boston stuff, right? Because at the time, there was, like, really no indication that that job would be open anytime soon, right? It took a scandal for that job to open, and he'd already taken, and, you know, Logan just said, like, there's 30 jobs. Like, there's 30 jobs, and sometimes I think we all think that everybody just wants a championship. Like, you know, like, you're only going to take a job, you're only going to take a position, you only want to get traded to a team where you can win a championship. Well, there's other factors, like, you know, maybe Will Hardy just wanted to try something. He wanted to, like, hey, I'm going to build a team from scratch. Like, you know, like, hey, they offered
me, I have my own team.
Yeah, this is my own team. My, like, you know, I get the input on who we draft. I get the input on how this next 4, 5, 6 years are going to go. I'm going to a team that is going to give me a lot of grace that says, hey, you know, like, we're not going to win the next 3 or 4 years. Don't worry about your job is safe. You know, just show us that you hit these metrics. Like, a championship is not your goal for the next 4 or 5 years. You know, it's building a team that can be a dynasty or something like that. So I don't, it is interesting. I think it's interesting to see, because, you know, we talk about that he should be holding up a trophy, but at the time, it just wasn't in the cards, and maybe.
What do you, I mean, you two are more connected to this than the average Jazz fan. I mean, what do you think that Will Hardy really knew when he took the job? Because I don't know. I can't remember which trade. Were both trades done by then, or was only one of them done? Or what was
the no. Came on? So when he the timeline came exactly. in, it was I want to say it was right before Rudy happened, but. From what I've gathered, it was like it had already been said and done, because he was hired like right after the draft, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, like
I think it was like June 28th.
If you want my like personal opinion with no, like, you know, whatever, like I assume the front office was like, hey, we're 90% moving Rudy Gobert. We're 78. If we move Rudy Gobert, we're probably 90% moving Donovan Mitchell too. You're coming into, you know, a blank slate is my guess. You know, like, he came
And even, like, Donovan's on record saying that he has had conversations with Will Hardy as a member of the Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
Ahead and say that he was, like, planning.
I'm not saying that isn't true. I'm just saying if my guess is that, again, like, yeah, you have conversations because Donovan is on the team. But I think when he took the job, I think he probably had a pretty good idea that those two guys were probably not going to be on the team. That's just my guess. I'm not discounting or just saying that didn't happen. I think he did have conversations with Donovan Mitchell, because at the time, you know, Mitchell was there. But my assumption, my guess, is that he kind of knew that those guys were going to be gone. So, because like,
at least like, Rudy Gobert, like, that one was kind of like a given based off of like when the hiring date was,
right?
But like with Donovan, it was like, hey, we're probably still shopping him.
Yeah,
we're probably going to try and get something done. So then,
yeah,
you know, this will be like your team clean slate.
Exactly. I think it was likely. I'm not saying it was a for sure, but I was like, you know, he probably had a good idea that he was coming in. It was going to be a bunch of young guys and. You know, there was not going to be.
Donovan wasn't traded till September, if I remember right. So, like, there was still.
It was like a month after Rudy Gobert, right? So, that's easy to look up. Donovan trade to Cavs. I think it was only a month after.
So I want to say it was like September 1st or something. Like, it was.
You're right. September 1st. There you go. So, and I think Rudy was like July.
Useless
something,
knowledge
so.
Only needed for trivia.
birth month. All right. So, So that's, again, that's our, you know, little rant about coaching and stuff. And it's funny because I invited Alma to be Logan actually for a long time stopped playing fantasy football. I think just a few years ago, Logan, you got back into it. And I want to say partly because of this podcast.
yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I did win a championship last year.
Yeah. So we just
got $0 for that, but I did win.
You know, sometimes it's about the pride. You know, sometimes
you
it's not the money. It's just the love of the game is what you're playing it for. Which so and exactly what Alma and I are doing right now. I I like playing Dynasty Fantasy, which is, you know, for those who don't know, and we've done episodes about this before, but, you know, you draft the team, and it's your team for, like, ever and ever, basically. In June, I get the itch, like, to draft teams, but the problem is that I don't want to play the seasons out. I just want to draft and to kind of see how things go. So I invite Alma. I'm like, hey, Alma, come join this mock draft that I'm doing. And it's like 30 rounds deep. Like, we're drafting, like, a bunch of people. We're halfway through it. But it's funny how very impatient I am in this mock draft. Like, if this was a regular draft, I wouldn't care this much. But this mock draft, and Alma, you had the first pick. And how's Dynasty Fantasy Football? Yeah, I know it's a mock, but we're all taking it pretty seriously, so it's kind of nice. So how's that treating you?
I will say, when you sent me that thing, I was literally talking with my roommate, like, maybe 4 or 5 days earlier, saying, like, man, it would be really cool to be involved with, like, a Dynasty League. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, did a spot open up in whose league? And then you're like, it's just a mock draft.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. Kind of got my hopes up, got let down. So that's kind of, like, another reason why I'm just like, oh, it's just a mock draft.
Yeah. That's the Hootran experience, is that I get your hopes up and then let you down. That's how I've done it my whole life. So
thanks for it, Ashley. Thank you. But, like, it's fun, though, because, like, everybody here is, like, clean slate, whatever. I kind of like that whole snake draft. I also wanted to see, like, what kind of team I could go ahead and build being the first pick, with it being a serpentine thing.
Yep.
So, like, it's weird.
Yep.
But I also don't have notifications on for that app. So every time you text me, I'm just like, okay, let me go ahead and get these two picks out of the way, and then I won't have to draft for probably, like, another 30
seconds. Yeah, we did four picks today, which is crazy. So
yeah, I was really surprised.
Yeah, Logan, you're so you're back in
the. I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. So you're like, this isn't even like the dynasty. I understand the basic concept of a dynasty league, but the fuck are you doing a mock draft for a dynasty league? What does that even mean?
It's just like we're basically drafting a team that we're never going to play. It's like the season's not going to play, but we're just drafting to see, you know, what our teams would look like if we did have a draft. So,
who wants to play Mana Crisis?
That's fantasy. Worse than people who make their own big boards for the NBA draft. Jesus Christ.
Wait, you know.
It's fun, not, like, that's where I got disappointed, because I was like, oh, I got invited to a dynasty league. Like, maybe I can go ahead and, like, learn new metrics for fantasy football. Like, that's what I was thinking it was going to be. And then it's like, it's just the mock draft. We're going to draft.
Yep.
It's going to tell us what grade we get for this.
I bring it up because
you put together.
I bring it up because, like, that's how nerdy I am for fantasy football. Like, we're just doing mock drafts now. And enjoying it, and I would invite Logan, but Logan wouldn't. I don't think you would like doing a mock dynasty draft.
I don't
Logan.
Want any part of that at all.
I mean, especially in June, like, so much can happen between now and the first preseason game.
Well, like, here's the thing: if we were to do a real startup draft, you would have to do it in June, because honestly, like 12 to 24 hours a pick is kind of standard for a startup draft, I think, because. You know, there's a lot of times, like, in a draft where I'm like, I don't love who I want here. I'm going to trade my picks away and see if I can get other picks and trade down and get extra picks and stuff. You know, like how I – it's like it's exactly how I build a Utah Jazz draft scenario in my head. So, but, yeah, Logan Logan was like, I – you know, he cannot fathom that what we're doing right now. It's like you guys are drafting teams that you're not even going to play, so.
And, like, how do you get into a dynasty league? Like, that's – I've, like, genuinely been interested in joining one of these things, and every time I look it up, it's just like, oh, well, this you gotta do this, this, and this.
You
and
can't, like, do it, because okay. they're all locked in for life.
That's what I'm saying. Like, where do I create one? Like,
you gotta find 10 to 12 people who are, like. The problem, like, with dynasty leagues is that a lot of them will fold after 3 or 4 years. Luckily, the two that I'm in have not folded. But there are times, like, you know, we've had to replace a bunch of owners, and whatnot, because, like, people just, like, they either, like, draft pretty badly and they set their team up to fail and they don't know how to rebound. So it's easy for them because they can just, you know, like, all right, I'm dipping, you know, take my entry fee. I'm done playing this league. Which in NBA and basketball, and so this is where my mindset comes from, because I play Dynasty Fantasy Football. And so, when I talk about the Jazz and stuff, you know, in Dynasty Fantasy Football, you kind of have to go through some years where it's painful. and, you know, like try to rebuild through assets, you know, young players and draft picks. So I guess that's where my mindset for doing it for the Jazz. But the problem is that if I fail, I just can't bounce from the league. You know, I can't bounce from the Jazz fandom. And neither can, you know, Ainge and Zach and do all that stuff. So, but if you want to start one, Alma, you know, find 10 to 12 people. You have a big follow. I know like Gets It and Art Takes Note and Mark W. These guys are, you know, these are guys I talked to in a group chat about. You know, I'm sure they can, you know, you get McKay Pearson. I'm sure he would do one too. So, Logan, Alma's looking for someone to join his Dynasty Fans.
No, sorry, I'm not going to help you out there.
Do you want to draft people and actually care about them rather than just
no,
throwing
no,
them
not
off
for
the
a
side.
Lifetime.
Not for a lifetime. Not for a lifetime.
You're talking about football, right?
Yeah, we're talking about football. Yes. Yep, we're talking about football. So
I didn't even ask which sport it was. It could have been hockey. You guys are big hockey nuts now.
Yeah.
My favorite part on here before you guys got hockey was Jared was on here giving me shit about claiming that I was a hockey fan and how that couldn't be real. You love the Golden Knights. You love hockey, huh? Little did he know that the whole fucking Twitter timeline was going to be 1,000 times worse than I was.
See, and like, and since like I'm like taking on the freelancing portion of like trying to like cover the team the best of my ability, kind of do the same stuff that I do for the Jazz, like I'm trying to learn the sport on the spot. I'm trying my best. I've downloaded the NHL hockey game so I can try to learn the rules, learn how like rotations and shit work. I'm trying my best, but then there's some people that are just like, yeah, half court, I could make that.
I'm
like half court on the ice.
I'm Logan, we kind of talked about this, you know, a couple months ago, but just like how people have like, you know, like Alma, you know, I appreciate because Alma's doing it mainly because of his brand, and he wants, you know, and he has the bandwidth to, you know, pick up another sport and everything, but we, like, it is odd to see how many Jazz fans who have never talked about hockey in their life kind of make that switch, like, oh my god, guys, like I know it's a shiny new thing, but you know, everybody's trying to talk about how like it, almost like they're lifetime fans of hockey, and like, you know, like, nope. Like you watch maybe this Stanley Cup playoffs, and that's it.
I legit, my very first hockey game was that final home game for the Coyotes that we all watched.
Right.
That was my first ever hockey game I'd ever watched, and I was like, oh, okay, I can see why people like this. Yeah. Like, I don't understand what's going on. But this was a lot of fun. But also there was a lot of different circumstances like on that one game. So I'm like, okay, that might be another reason why this might be a little more entertaining.
Like,
I started watching some more NHL playoff games. I was like, oh shit.
And then there's nothing wrong with that. I think that that's fine. It's just the people that are presenting themselves as like, oh, like, I don't know, like as they've been fans for years of the sport, and I'm like, okay, guys, let's calm down a little bit here. Like, it's a shiny new toy. It's nice. I'm currently an Oilers fan. If Utah Hockey Club wants me to be their fan, they're gonna. Oh, we lost. Hold on a second. I guess we lost Logan.
Oh no! I noticed that we started talking too much hockey.
Logan left the chat.
God shut me off. I just turned my down and the signal an SOS or whatever it does when you lose your signal.
Yeah, the moment we start talking about hockey, it's just like, no, so, Logan's out. Yeah.
Right. Well, I was saying,
my brother Cameron reminded me today, the Whites love hockey. So the Whites.
Happy Juneteenth.
Yep. Biggest brand.
Conservative Whites love
hockey. So I was just saying that I'm you know, like Alma, you know, start to like watch and try to understand the game. That's great, but you like it's the people who are online presenting themselves as like lifelong fans who didn't watch a hockey game 2 months ago, and so that's what kind of gets me. Like I said, I'm an Oilers fan now because. Obvious reasons, I'm a Warriors fan, and if Utah Hockey Club wants my fan, then they know what they need to do. So, find the right fans is what I'm saying.
And like even for me, like I have a connection with hockey, but I just never watched it, never understood it. Like, because my grandfather used to be an equipment manager for the Salt Lake Golden Eagles, and eventually made his way up to the Calgary Flames. Mm. But again, I don't know a damn thing about the sport.
where I didn't know a damn thing about the sport until April.
Right. And then, I'm like, Logan, you got into it kind of interestingly, like you just kind of latched on, and like it took you like a year or two, but like now you're like really, it's your favorite sport, as you said.
Yeah, I really do enjoy watching it. But yeah, I mean, it was part of it was just the Nevada ties, because that was the first team I spent most of my, a good chunk of my life in Nevada. So it was exciting when I got a team. So, you know, like the Utahns that I latched on to it, but yeah, I still don't understand. You know, I would say I understand 75% of what's going on. There's still some rules that I'm still not quite sure what offsides is or how you get offsides. But
oh, that's one I've learned.
You always got to stay behind the defense.
I know technically what it is, but there's a decent amount of subjectivity to it, which is interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's like,
Logan's gonna have his Ted Lasso moment when he gets offsides every time. So,
that and they were making a wave off icing sometimes. That's okay, but not okay. I mean, it's just. And then I thought I was figuring things out, and I saw a 5-minute major, which is essentially an ejection from the game, and then they also get to keep. They get a power play the entire 5 minutes. It doesn't go away after a goal is scored.
Yeah.
And so my whole world was turned upside down again. So
my thing is like how subjective the goalie interference is. That's the one that I'm like, whoa, that one's like very touchy in my opinion.
You know what? I know that happened in one of the games recently, but like in all the games I watched I probably watched 40 to 50 goal and ice games. I don't recall seeing goalie interference come up that often. I don't know that.
From what I've gathered, one of my friends from back home, diehard Tampa Bay Lightning fan, like he's been a season ticket guy for years. And he just absolutely hates the Panthers and wants to find any reason to shit on the Panthers. So this season, he's literally been tallying up every single time their goalie has complained to the refs to review goalie interference. And he said that it was about a third of the regular season games that the goalie called for goalie interference.
I've got it, huh?
And even like with the playoffs, he was just like, yeah, it's probably been about a quarter of the games you've seen the goalie from Florida just skate up to the ref and it's like, why didn't you call goalie interference?
Sounds like Chris Paul. Like, sounds like Chris Paul on ice.
And Scott Fisher's the one pulling the reins.
it's wild. I also saw something flash up the other day that the last five representatives of the Eastern Conference in the Stanley Cup Finals have been all from Florida.
Oh yeah, because
Tampa Bay 3 years in a row, Florida back to back.
Yeah. Florida. Because it's the only place that you can be cool in the summer. So. Stanley Cup finals. This is a Utah Jazz podcast. We talked a little bit of Utah Jazz. I mean, there are some things that are going on right now, and you know, the Lowry marketing and stuff and whatever. And I just felt like we needed a cleanse. Just the shoot the shit podcast is how I describe this to these guys. And so I'm glad that you guys were able to come on, shoot the shit with me. That was nice. I need to clip the part of them. Long as this is the Believe Network, motherfucker. So,
You can't.
What was that? No, I need a clip and put it at the beginning of the episode so people know.
All right. I was like, since when do we go to no profanity? You didn't tell me that when you asked me to come on. There was two pretty big Utah things that came out of here. Is that we believe that Ryan Smith is scheming to get rid of the Jazz name, and that Will Hardy's a bad coach.
So. Just not a good coach. I think there's. I want to delineate. There's a difference. I think
that even if he is or isn't a good coach, I think that it's very tricky the places he's in.
Yes,
it's a very tricky place that, and whether it's his fault or not, I don't know.
He's not Spoelstra, so he's not Spoelstra. So that's a knock against him. So,
He has a 5-year contract to work with. We're going into year 3. We'll see what happens.
We will see what happens. All right, Logan. Again, you know, hopefully one day we can get you on. I would love to talk about your wedding. It was a great event. Tears were shed. It was beautiful. Thank you for tagging. Thank you for sending me some some nice Polaroids, nice pictures. It came out beautifully, so those are nice. So
I thought that'd be a nice little touch to send those out to people to physically have something to hold on to.
Yes. The Twitter event of the century. If you weren't there, I mean, are you really even a guest? Alma was there in spirit. He got a good fucking Alma bean.
I got a nice fuck you from the groom here.
That was basically like, I wish you were here, Alma. That's my way of communicating. Why isn't Alma
so here? I said this so many times. I really wish I could have been there. Like I went ahead and saw how much fun you guys had. The venue looked like a lot of fun. And there were just so many people that were there, and I could finally like put a face to the name,
right.
Hold a few people accountable.
That was a big part of it. We had a great karaoke party at the end of it. I've taken Alma karaoke with me here in Utah before, and it's a treat to watch the people. I don't want to, if you've seen Alma, you would not think he has the singing voice that he has.
I look like an out of shape Kratos from God of War. That's probably the best description you can put out there.
But voice of an angel, this one. So, if you want to come see Alma, again today. Now we're on June 20th. The date has changed. In a couple weeks, we're gonna hit the town again at Salt Lake and go to karaoke. I'm assuming Alma will be coming out with us. So, to karaoke. So.
I'll need to remember to bring cash with me so then I can actually sing rather than digging out of your pockets.
Yeah, there you go. So come out for the karaoke concert. Go follow AlmaBean23 on Twitter. He's doing the work for everybody. He's learning the sport of hockey. He's doing them flick the bean on Twitter. It's my favorite.
That will never get old.
Oh, it's my favorite joke.
There are going to be some people that are genuinely confused, like, oh,
Alma, oh my god, like bean? Like the flick the bean is a term I had not used since high school, so 20 some odd years.
And then you were just like,
yeah. That's on you.
And then you were like, Alma's doing bean on the scene. What else do I know about beans?
No offense. I couldn't remember what it was called, and I thought flick the bean was just a very, very apt name to name.
I'm going to so. Get.
I'm going to Alma makes it big, and his fans can be called the bean flickers.
It's a roaring fandom.
Yes. Go follow the Dragon Squad.
There are thousands of bean flickers here right now.
Welcome to the Delta Center, where there are thousands of bean flickers in attendance.
They've worked themselves into a frenzy.
Listen to them roar.
And it's
more of an anxious moan.
This is very this is a very if you know you know type conversation.
For some, it's a very lackluster.
Yes. some are just hitting the wrong thing. So
at least they're trying.
Yep. Follow AlmaBean23 on the Twitter. Follow Logan at the Dragon Squatch. I'm sure you're already following him. Very, very enjoyable Twitter, Dragon Squatch there.
Mountain Squatch.
Right now we're trying to find video of rookie quarterbacks trying to do anything other than throw a football. So.
It's quite fascinating.
It is very weird. So, again, I'm at Who Transfer Man. Thanks for listening to Hitting the High Notes, part of the Believe Network, brought to you by Bet Online. And we'll see you guys next time. Flick them beans.